Welcome to the Automotive Leaders Podcast, where we help you prepare for the future by sharing stories, insights, and skills from leading voices in the automotive world with a mission to transform this industry together. I'm your host, Jan Griffiths, that passionate, rebellious farmer's daughter from Wales with over 35 years of experience in our beloved auto industry and a commitment to empowering fellow leaders to be their best authentic selves. Stay true to yourself. Be you and lead with gravitas, the hallmark of authentic leadership. Let's dive in. This episode is brought to you by Lockton. Lockton redefines business insurance and people solutions with a personal touch. Their global team of 11,000 is driven by independence, not quarters, to tailor success for your business. Discover the Lockton difference, where your goals become their mission. Independence, it's not just how you think, but how you act. Today is a special episode. It is the actual recording of my speech at the book launch for Auto Culture 2.0, and I have to share something with you. It was the best night of my life. That might sound like a really strong statement to make, but it really was. And let me tell you why. I felt as if I was exactly where I needed to be, where I'm supposed to be in life. It's as if everything that I've been working on in my career and my life all came together at that moment, at that night. As I looked out into the crowd, I saw people I've known for decades in the industry. I saw old friends, new friends, people who are in the industry, people who are not in the industry, people who have genuinely supported me through every single phase of my life. And then I was able to give this speech that came totally from the heart. There were no notes, no slides, just me, my thoughts and my beliefs pouring out of me. And I gotta tell you, it felt great. So please enjoy the speech. And please, if you haven't checked out Auto Culture 2.0 yet, please do so. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's an easy read. It is a tool to help you open up the discussion with your team about culture. Because, my friends, the time is now to make some dramatic improvements in the culture in our beloved auto industry. Here we go.
My name is Ashok Shivanand. I am the CEO of Integral. We are at the cutting edge of automotive product design and innovation. Something that we know is that transforming the industry is not just about new tools and technology or even new talent, but really about changing the culture of the organizations. Not surprisingly, when Jan and I met, it was when we were both speaking at a panel about culture. At the time, it wasn't obvious that we had more in common than cool hair and that neither of us really looked like we'd fit in an automotive boardroom. As we got to know each other a little bit more, it became apparent that we both agreed that transforming this industry is going to be more than retooling and reskilling. And cultural change starts with leadership.
Well,
some of the other things, I think, Jan and I both moved to North America by ourselves. We had to learn to navigate the winters here. We had to modify our accents. And something else is that we both really enjoy being on the shop floor. The hard hats, the safety goggles, the smell of the oil, the hum of the machinery. We're not even bothered that the hard hats ruin our cool hair. That's just how cool it is to be on there. Jen has been a force of encouragement. I was really happy to hear that her daughter, Gwen, encouraged her to take this leap by by saying, Mom, it's okay. We can always eat ramen. And Jan's mom said, you can always move back to the farm. And similar to that, Jan has always been this nurturing support for leaders like myself in this industry, while also holding us accountable to higher standards for ourselves. That nurture forces us to dream bigger, and the accountability drives us to chase those dreams. And the more we have leaders like that in our industry, the better chance we have at succeeding at this transformation. Now, this is really exciting, obviously, for Jan. And I don't know how bashful she's going to be, but I've got a favor. There's QR codes all around, and we're going to ride the Amazon algorithm and get an automotive culture book based out of Detroit on the top seller list, because that's a win for all of us here. So with that, I'd like to introduce Jan to the book launch of Auto Culture 2.0.
Oh, thank you. Could you get a better introduction than that? Thank you. Thank you, Osho. We are in the midst of a massive transformation in our beloved automotive industry. And it is a great time to be alive. Would you agree? Yes. In the words of our esteemed John McElroy, who is here somewhere. Where is it? John? There he is. John said on our podcast, he said, we will see more change in this industry in the next 7 years than we have seen in the past 100. 100. Think about that. Every day we're busy in this industry. We talk about EVs, right? We talk about the adoption rate. We talk about autonomous driving. We talk about software-defined vehicles. We talk about batteries. We talk about charging infrastructure and on and on and on, and technology and technology and technology, right? What about culture? Does anybody in this room seriously think that the leadership model that we followed in this industry that got us to where we are today is going to take us into the future? No, it is not. We know what we don't want. We know that command and control is history. It is. We're less clear on what the leadership model is that we should be working with. Thankfully, Stephen Covey helped us out. And he wrote a book called Trust and Inspire. And I interviewed Stephen on my podcast through the lens of the auto industry. And he totally gets it. We have to move away from position and power and look to people and potential. We have to move away from this mindset of compliance, because in our industry, oh my God, do we love compliance. We love rules, and we want to make you follow those rules. And what happens when you don't follow those rules? Bad things happen, right? Stephen's book is called Trust and Inspire, but it is all about the principles of authentic leadership. It is the model of leadership that we need to shape the culture of this industry. Stephen said it best. He said, using command and control in our current environment of transformation is like taking a golf club to a tennis match. So true, right? So true. He also said, you cannot win in the marketplace without also winning in the workplace. But I do not believe that we have enough attention. The alarm bells are not ringing loud enough on culture. We have to do more. I'm going to take you back to my story. I'm not going to take you all the way back, because I'll be here all night. I want to take you back to a moment that you will all, in this room, you can all relate to. About 6 years ago, I'd achieved my dream job, running supply chain for a global organization. I was in my element, right? But I would sit in these meetings every Monday, and I would feel the life force draining out of me. PowerPoint after PowerPoint. One month, I see you laughing, Moriarty. I wasn't talking about you. But month after month, you know, one number would be tweaked. And you would say, please, God, can we change this agenda? No. This is the way that we've always done it. And we are not going to change. So I would, most of you that know me well, and if you're in this room, you probably do. I like to go to Starbucks in the morning. And I would go to work later and later every single day. It was like walking through molasses. I had lost that joie de vivre, whatever you want to call it, that drive. It had gone. It had left me. But how could that be? I was in my dream job. I had everything I could have ever imagined, but something wasn't right. I wasn't living and leading my life in line with my values, because in the automotive industry, we have a mold of leadership that we expect people to fit. And I became really, really good at assimilating into whatever mold a particular tier one wanted me to fit. What I became what they wanted me to be. And I became good at that. And then finally, here I am in my 50s. And I'm thinking, really? This is it? This can't be it. And then I start to look at what's happening in the industry and the transformation. And I start to spend time in downtown Detroit. And I start to see the activity and the startup world. My good friend Allison Emmerich takes me to Bamboo, a co-working space. I was amazed. I loved it. All this energy, all this innovation, all this tech talk. It was great. It was inspiring. And then I met Amanda Roroff. Where's Amanda? You're around here somewhere, Amanda. Where is she? There she is. There she is. I met Amanda Roroff. At the time, Amanda ran Planet M, a place to nurture tech companies and startups. And I was so excited. So I grabbed a hold of my engineering colleague and I said, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put a purchasing person down here and an engineering guy, and we're going to make sure that they take all the new ideas from all these tech startup companies and bring them back to the tier one, to our company. It's going to be great. So he was all in, and we went back to the ranch, and guess what? No. That didn't happen. But think about that, right? We have people in our organizations today that are full of great ideas. We have a responsibility as leaders to create an environment for them to grow, for an environment for them to flourish, to banish the fear that we're so known for in this organization. I can't tell you how many times, as direct as I am, that I was afraid to put my voice forward because I was afraid of judgment. I was afraid of being fired. And so I didn't. I kept those ideas in. Now, how are we going to grow this industry and transform this industry at the rate that's needed if we don't create that environment? We all have a responsibility to do that. So my wonderful corporate job that I'd worked all my life to get, I left. I said, there's got to be more than this. We've got to do something about this industry. And I made a decision that I would become the architect of cultural change in this industry. And I thank you. Thank you. And so I left and I started Gravitas Detroit, and people thought I was nuts. I am not going to tell you what Tia molded. Yeah, she didn't think it. She told me time and time again. I won't even tell you what Tony Daines thought of me and put it on LinkedIn. But there was, so people thought I was crazy. You don't leave a job like that in your 50s, right? Nobody does that. I did. I took my salary to zero. I couldn't do the side hustle. I had an employment contract. I couldn't do that because everybody says, we'll do a side hustle. No, it was either you're all in or nothing. And so I did. And so I left. And I started Gravitas Detroit. So, okay, we start Gravitas Detroit. I'm figuring out what it's like to be an entrepreneur. It's all good. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to be talking about authentic leadership, I need to find people that get it. I need to find people who practice authentic leadership. Get their voices heard so that other leaders in the industry could listen to their stories, listen to exactly what authentic leadership was all about and how they practice it. And so I started the podcast. Now, you should probably know that all these moves that I'm making in my career, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing when I started. No clue. I didn't even know how to spell a podcast. Now I'm giving presentations on podcasts. So I started the podcast and met some wonderful, wonderful leaders who started to share their insights and their stories. And it was great. It was such a wonderful experience. And then somebody said to me, and they said this to me a number of times over my career, you should write a book. Oh, dear God. What? No, please. Please. I just got through this podcast thing. And now I'm supposed to write a book. Well, here's the problem. I'm not a writer. I'm not a writer. I'm just not. I know my strengths. Andy, as leaders, we have to play to our strengths. And so I hired a ghostwriter. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. A lot of people who hire ghostwriters, they kind of keep them exactly as a ghost, or they keep them in the background. No, I hired a ghostwriter. Her name's Audrey Mast. She's awesome. She listened to hours and hours and hours of me talking about this book. She listened to hours and hours of transcripts. Because the idea for the book, because as hard as it is for me to believe, not everybody likes podcasts, but the idea for the book was to take some of these podcast episodes and really just dial it in and dial it in and pull out the leadership insights and share it with the industry. Well, when I think back in my corporate role, I don't want to read a 350-page book, right? I want to just tell me what I need to know. Give it to me. Give it to me short and concise. Tell me what I need to know. And then, oh, how about you tell me what I should do with this information? And then how about you give me the option so if I want to go deeper, I can, right? And I thought, that's it. That's how we need to structure this book. So the way this book is structured, the opening chapter, you'll hear a little bit of my backstory in the beginning. The opening chapter is Covey talking about Trust and Inspire. Then we go into chapters based on episodes with some amazing leaders. Some of these leaders are here today. Sandy Sokowski, CEO of Vitesco, right back there. Round of applause. Now, why am I pointing my finger at Sandy? She hates me right now, no. Because Sandy gets it. She walks the talk. She understands authentic leadership. She understands DE&I. She does it every single day. She lives her values. And this is what culture is about. It's not about the what. We've got the what in spades in this industry. We know the what part. It's the how part. We've got to start to get closer to our values and define our culture. And there is no easy answer. There's no cookie cutter approach to it. The book is simply a playbook, a roadmap, a guide to help you open dialogue and conversations around culture. That's what it's for. Dr. Andy Palmer, former CEO of Aston Martin, the godfather of the EV, he shepherded in the Nissan Leaf. He knows a thing or two about culture. He started in the nasty, grimy British automotive industry, which is about as awful as you could possibly get. And then he worked his way through Japanese culture with Nissan and then Aston Martin. And now he's more in the mobility in the EV space. So he has a lot to share. And one thing no spoilers because you have to buy the book and read the book. But I will tell you that the one thing he said that resonated with me is this. Because we talked about California culture, EV startup culture, right? And then we talked about traditional legacy auto culture. And he said, you know what, John? He said, there's no right or wrong. There's no right culture or wrong culture. There is only the culture that you want for your business. The culture that you want as a leader for your team. It's up to you as a leader to define the values that you want and to make sure that you live those values every day. Stefan Krauss, another chapter on Stefan Kraus. Stefan Kraus, when I first met Stefan, I guess I can say this now, I interviewed with him and I thought it was going to be the worst interview ever. His background, former head of sales and marketing for BMW in Germany, former CFO of Deutsche Bank, right? So I think who the image that you've gotten in your head right now. I've been to Volkswagen. I've been torn to shreds in Wolfsburg, right? In German, and I don't speak German, but okay. So I had this image of this guy. And when I met him, I was so wrong. This man is one of the most authentic leaders I have ever met. So he then moved into the mobility space. He was at Faraday, and then he moved over, started a company called Evelocity, and then became the CEO of Canoe. And now I kind of lost track of him. But one of the things that he really believes in is this idea of compliance, and that we tend to think that people are going to screw up. And so we build our systems and processes around that. And what we need to do now in this industry is to unlearn a lot of that thinking. Not all of it. It's not all bad. But we have to unlearn some of that and learn to lead with conviction. Jessica Robinson is in the book, an awesome leader from tea taster to venture capitalist. You'll learn a lot about Jessica in the book. But those are just some examples of the chapters of the insights that these people are bringing to the podcast that I'm sharing in the book. This term, authentic leadership, is a broad term. If I went around this room, everybody would have a different understanding of what it is. I took all my leadership experience, everything I've learned from the podcast, and I've learned a lot by interviewing people in the podcast. And I put it all together in a document. It's called The 21 Traits of Authentic Leadership. And you know there's a QR code in the book for you to download it. There's a QR code for everything in my life. So, all right, so what do I do? These days, I spend my days, yes, podcasting. I love podcasting. I spend my days helping companies with their leadership offsites, helping them define what their culture is all about. I do tons and tons of speaking engagements, trying to get people excited about culture, trying to get people to understand why we need to focus on culture. And then the other thing that I do is I take my podcasting skills to the shop floor. Now, you guys are probably going, what? Why would you take a podcast to the shop floor? Isn't it loud and noisy and dirty? And why would you do that? Authentic leadership is all about communication. It's about being inclusive. Cheryl Thompson is here from Cadia. We talk about creating an environment where people feel connected, about creating community. There is a population in this industry that's woefully underserved in that regard, and that is the people on the shop floor. They don't have a corporate email. You can have all the best corporate communication strategies on the planet. You're not reaching the people on the shop floor. So how do you do that? A podcast. I have been having a great time. I have a tier one client right now that I work with, and we're interviewing people from the shop floor. I'm interviewing production techs, operators, CEOs, VPs, and we're sharing stories. We're sharing values. We're creating culture. That's what authentic leadership is all about. I was thinking the other day about where this industry is headed. And, you know, there's a lot in the news right now. We talk a lot about BYD and Tesla. And it wasn't so long ago, you know, that we used to scoff at Tesla. Do you remember those days when we would say, oh, they're just a tech company. They'll never make a car. Remember that? And then when they made a car, we said, oh, yeah, but you know what? They don't know how to scale because they're not automotive. They're not like us. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to scale. Guess what? They figured out how to scale, right? And then now we stand back in awe at the way they design the car and the way they make the car. There are only two vehicle manufacturers, Tuli, you have to fact check me on this. There are only two vehicle manufacturers out there that make a quality vehicle and make money, correct? BYD, Tesla, correct? And we scoffed at the Chinese, didn't we? We said, oh, yeah, we went over there and we looked at some of the product and we said, oh, yeah, but it's cheap. The quality's not there. We're not saying that now, are we? We cannot allow this industry to go the same way as Blockbuster. We're going there. The Blockbuster tale. They did the same thing, didn't they? They scoffed at Netflix. This scrappy little start and, oh, they don't know what they're doing. They're just these bunch of young crazy guys, right? No. Enough of that thinking. We cannot think like that anymore. We have to create an environment for innovation to thrive. We cannot talk about innovation as it relates to product and technology out of one side of our mouth and then have a culture that kills it in the other. That has to change. We cannot, my supply chain background, we cannot talk about bringing in new suppliers and new technology and throw a 35-page terms and conditions document at them. Sorry, John Krucher, Catherine, Jamie, the three lawyers that are in the room. We cannot do that. They're going to run away screaming. We have to nurture this relationship. I interviewed Jeremy McCool, CEO of Hevo, the EV wireless charging company. And I said, Jeremy, what was it like when you came to Detroit for the first time trying to knock on the door of the OEMs? And he said one word, antiquated. So we cannot continue with these small little bits of incremental improvement with our culture. We think we're doing some good things, but we're not doing enough and we're not doing it fast enough. We need to do more. And we need to do it not only to make sure that we don't become the next Blockbuster, but for our legacy, for our children, and for the people coming into this industry. We have to leave it in better shape than the day we walked in the door to walk into this industry. Who's with me on that? Dad, come on.
What am I doing?
And to that end, I would like to, very carefully walking backwards, I would like to dedicate this book to my darling daughter. To you. She inspires me every day. I want you to continue to be your 100% authentic self. She calls me out if I'm not being authentic. She has no problem in doing that. I think the younger generation is much better at just coming in and being who they are and not being afraid of fitting a mold. They're much better at it. So, my darling, that book's for you.
And just for the record, at no point did we have to rely on a diet of ramen noodles.
Tonight would not have been possible without two sponsors. And I know when you're in an event like this and people call out the sponsors, it's like, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah company. No. I want to tell you about the relationship I have with these companies. So Lockton is the premier sponsor tonight. And most of you, a lot of you probably go, Lockton, who's Lockton, right? Lockton is a business insurance company and a people solution company. And you're going to hear about them a lot because not only are they the sponsor for this event, but they're the sponsor and my first sponsor for the Automotive Leaders podcast. So a huge shout out to Lockton.
Thank you.
And I wanted to make sure, you know, when I was working with trying to find a sponsor for the podcast, I wanted a company that the values really were in alignment with what I believe in. And you'll see their tagline. It's uncommonly independent. And they are. They nurture an entrepreneurial spirit, but then they have this massive global organization that they can leverage. So Lockton is a name you're going to be hearing a lot more about. Now, a name that you know, all of you in this room know, is Mima, otherwise known as OESA, but Mima. Now, I have known Mima for, how long, but I started going to the Mima CPO Council meetings way back in the day. And what a great organization to create this environment where you could share openly with your peers. I absolutely loved that experience. And I thought that maybe they would ditch me after, you know, I moved out of that corporate role because I'm no longer in this, you know, supply chain role. I'm just this gravitas Detroit person that nobody knew. But no, they didn't. And we continue to work together. So Mima, thank you. But now is the time, and we love to do this in order, and if this is a good one of the things that we love about our culture is we like to take action, don't we? Where's the action? Where's the action plan? Come on, see, I know JD's all about that, right? Right. So we like to take action. So here it is. Here's the action. Ashok set you up earlier on to hit the QR code on the table to order your book. We're trying to get the book up to an Amazon bestseller today. It all depends on sales today. So if you haven't ordered it, please hit the QR code and order it. But more importantly, when you have the book, I want you to commit to yourself right here in this room right now that you will take an action when you get back to your business, back to your teams, that you will take an action to do something to open up the dialogue about culture with your teams and make a difference, make a change. This is a tremendously exciting time for us to be alive. And we have a choice. We can either engage in this transformation, or we can just ignore it and we can stand on the sidelines and watch it. I say no. I say we get right in there, right in the heart of it, and we lead this change. All the leaders who are in this room today, I want to know, will you join me and will you take an action Monday? Yes? Yes? Am I hearing yes? Yes? Okay. We've got a big job ahead of us. We've got an industry to change. Everybody that's in this room today, you're here because you have a growth mindset, because you're up for the challenge, because you want to do it. So with that, please enjoy the rest of the evening and thank you for coming.
Thank you for listening to the Automotive Leaders Podcast. Click the listen link in the show notes to subscribe for free on your platform of choice. And don't forget to download the 21 Traits of Authentic Leadership PDF by clicking on the link below. And remember, stay true to yourself, be you, and lead with gravitas, the hallmark of authentic leadership.